It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed the sick. Well, the angels are appearing everywhere in the opening chapters of the Gospels. In Luke, you have an angel appearing to Mary, an angel appearing to Zechariah, and then in Matthew, as he tells the same story from a slightly different angle, you've got an angel appearing to Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. We often talk about Mary's great faith when she received the word of the Lord, may it be unto me as the Lord has spoken. What about Joseph as well? Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this New Year's Eve, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, an angel visiting Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
We've talked many times about Mary hearing this promise from God through the angel Gabriel that she would conceive and bear a son. May it be unto me as the Lord has spoken, in essence, is a response. Should we say the same thing about Joseph?
I certainly would say so. Remember, Zechariah doubted that this could occur because Elizabeth was so old and he wanted a sign, which he got. He had to be mute. Mary did not doubt. She only asked how this would take place since she was a virgin. And when she was told by the angel Gabriel, she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." In fact, Martin Luther asked the question once, what was the greatest miracle? The conception and birth of Jesus, the faith of Mary, or the faith of Joseph? And he kind of sided with the faith of Mary and Joseph as the greater miracle, because when they were told this by the angel that she would be a virgin, conceive and bear a son, none of this had ever happened in the Old Testament. There were plenty of promises in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. But for them to believe that is really, in Luther's mind, one of the greatest miracles of the Christmas story.
So Matthew picks up the story kind of from Joseph's perspective, where he has heard that Mary is found to be with child. Where does Joseph go from there?
Well, he was unwilling to put her to shame in a public divorce and resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, there's a lot of discussion as to what that means. We actually, from the Dead Sea Scrolls, have an example of two people who got divorced, and guess what? Their names were Mary and Joseph, but it's not referring to the Mary and Joseph in this case. The two ways a divorce would occur, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, is you would have a public hearing against the woman who was found to be pregnant. And if the allegations were proven, the village council would grant a divorce, and that would be quite public. But the second method was to have the evidence presented and approved by just two witnesses who would then certify the divorce. And most people think that Joseph would have taken that second option because the witnesses were necessary to prevent a woman denying that the divorce had taken place, but by quietly, the separation would be an entirely private affair. Now, I heard of another option that I really like is, and this was because, I mean, Nazareth wasn't that big a town. I mean, how quiet and private could this be? public way is that Joseph would go through the council, announce that she was pregnant, and of course she would have great shame. The private way is that Joseph would not say that it was another man who impregnated her, but would leave it quietly, giving the assumption that he was the one who had sexual relations with her prior to their marriage. And in that way, she would be kept from being stoned to death, and Joseph would be looked upon as the one who was a real problem. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't make it really clear as to which of these options, and maybe there are some other ones I don't even know about, when it says that he would put her away quietly. But I kind of like that last one, where he would give the presumption that he was a man responsible, and therefore that would take the guilt away from Mary.
And that certainly seems to be borne out in the later characterizations of Jesus by his opponents. He's not accused of being the son of adultery or of relations outside the marital bounds. He's just accused of being a bastard, in essence, of being illegitimately conceived. So they're kind of assuming Joseph was responsible.
You're quoting John 8:41, where Jesus says to them, these are the unbelieving ones, "You are doing the works your father did," referring to Satan. "They said to him, 'We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God.'" So it was public knowledge that Jesus had been born out of wedlock from their point of view.
All right. So he is also called a just and or righteous man. Can you explain that?
Yes. Once more, scholars disagree as to what that means, as though, you know, he never sinned. Well, it doesn't mean he never sinned. It's the fact that a believer was considered to be a just and righteous man. Remember, those same words are used in regard to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we know that Zechariah went ahead and then didn't believe. And so it's found in a number of situations. Even Job is said, you see, a believer from God's point of view is already considered a just man and righteous because through faith he has received the righteousness of God. And so that's how I would interpret that particular phrase.
We have here the dilemma that is set up. He has decided that he will, in effect, take responsibility for the child publicly. And then it says, I guess we need to include here that he's completely unaware of the real, at least at this point, of the real origins of the child. He has to be assuming, doesn't he, that Mary's been unfaithful to him?
Well, remember, Mary went and was with Elizabeth for 6 months. And therefore, she started showing before she left Elizabeth, and it probably wasn't until after that 6 months that when she returned to Nazareth to be with Joseph that he found out that she was pregnant.
When we come back, we're going to take up the angel's appearance to Joseph and essentially says, "Joseph, go ahead and take her as your wife. She has not been unfaithful to you." Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this New Year's Eve. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, The Angel Visiting Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at Joseph's dream, where an angel tells him to take Mary as his wife, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, this is a dream in which he has this, and you say that has further commends the gift of faith that God had given to Joseph. I mean, when I dream, I just wake up, shake my head, and forget about it. But this was not any ordinary dream.
Yes, I told a Bible study recently, I really enjoy having nightmares. Nightmares are terrible dreams, like you have a dream that your car was stolen. The reason I enjoy it is when I wake up and they're not true. I look out in the driveway and there is the car. But I had therefore learned that never to listen to nightmares, never to listen to dreams. If I want to know what God has to say to me, there's only one source, and that's the Bible. Therefore, I find it interesting that unlike some of the folks who had a vision, like John on Patmos, etc., or Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2, that this was a dream which he has with the angel speaking to him. It's not like Gabriel standing there in front of Mary speaking. This is a dream. And for him to agree with what the angel says, that what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, there is no way he would agree with that unless he had given the faith to believe it. And see, that's part of the Christian message that we get across to the children. What we often teach them seems to make no sense from a point of view of reason or the way most people think. But God has given us faith to believe the impossible, that we ourselves are righteous in his sight, even though we're 100% sinner. And so this is why I believe great faith had been given to Joseph by the Holy Spirit to believe what the angel said in a dream.
Now, there's also a little potential for confusion here, because the angel instructs Joseph to go ahead and get married, and then it says, all this took place, you'll call his name Jesus, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, and there he quotes the Old Testament, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name, and it's not Jesus, it's Emmanuel. Can you clear that up for us?
Yes, I would make 2 points. The angel knows that the Holy Spirit works through word and sacrament. Now, no sacrament of baptism and Lord's Supper yet, so the word, so what does he quote? He quotes Isaiah 7:14. And therefore, the Holy Spirit puts faith in the heart of Joseph. But as you indicated, interestingly enough, the angel had said to Mary his name would be Jesus. Here it says Emmanuel. Now, if you are a Sunday school teacher, I would encourage encourage you to look at the Growing in Christ, because they have an excellent explanation between Emmanuel, which means God with us, and Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And the point that they're making is the angel isn't contradicting anything else in the scripture. Here's how they summarize it. God is with his people, that's Emmanuel, and he is with them, how? To redeem and save them. We talked about this in the last lesson, where God is going to visit his people. That doesn't mean a Christmas visit to have some punch and cake. No, it means he is going to give them something positive. And so when we talk about Emmanuel, we can ask, what does it mean God is with us? Well, he's with us to redeem and save us. And that's what the name Jesus says. And it's an excellent summary in the Growing in Christ series.
That explains kind of the name mix-up. Let's focus just a little bit in the few minutes left to us on that Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a profound statement, Tom, of in just a few verses of what's happened here with Mary, with the conception of Jesus, and what Jesus will do. Talk about that.
When it says God is with us, somebody may say, well, wait a minute. He's been with us since the creation of the world. Yes, but he has not been one of us. To be with us means now he has become a human being. In fact, it is the essence of the Christmas message that is going on during this season. Namely, God with us means he has become one of us, and for only one purpose. And that is, as a human being, because only a human being can do this, to take upon the sins of other human beings. And because he is also divine, he is God, then his sacrifice on the cross as a human being means that God also died for the sins of the world, and therefore God with us now is reversed in baptism, where we are now with God. In fact, I would really point that out to the Sunday school children, that God is really with you as he was even in Mary, because the Lord Jesus has entered you through the waters of baptism, and for adults, you actually receive his body and blood. That is the essence of what it means to be God with us.
So this is a place where we can take those kids and say, right here in the divine service, here at this altar, this God with us is actually how Jesus comes to us today. Can we make those kind of declarative statements for the kids?
Absolutely. And then we'll say, like, for example, how can you become a child in the family? Well, you can be born in the family or you can be adopted. Well, guess what? You are with God, and God is with you because you were adopted by God. Remember the words? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you into. So you now are a member of the family of God, and that is the true significance of why Jesus is God with us.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2015, and I know you have, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2015. In the next hour, we're going to talk with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the circumcision and the name of Jesus. That's the next hour of Issues Etc. How gracious God is that he would take this man perplexed by what he assumes could only be the adultery of his betrothed, and then show him that far from being the result of Mary's sin, this baby conceived in her womb is the result of God's gracious promise to all mankind, that what God is doing is fulfilling the promise of Emmanuel, of what had been promised in the back in the Old Testament, when God would come himself to redeem us. Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph must have, what a dream. Joseph must have woke from that dream and had a whole new perspective, not only on Mary and on the child conceived in her womb, but on God himself. God himself was coming through the womb of his betrothed to save not only Joseph and Mary, but the whole world, Jesus Christ himself. I'm Todd Wilken, more issues, etc., after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Please help us finish in the black for the eighth consecutive year by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015.